today. Isaiah 51:4. Our main verse is going to be verse 6, but we're going to start here in verse 4 and get it in context. If your Bible has one of those little funny-looking backwards P's in it, that means paragraph. Okay, Isaiah 51:4. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and my arm shall judge the people. The isle shall wait upon me, and upon my arm shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their reviling. Verse 8, for the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool, but my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just ask as you open up your scriptures again today, that you'll bless and guide and direct and instruct, and let us see the wonders of our great God and what you have prepared and waiting for those that are His. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this starts out in verse 6. I kind of titled this, Going Gone. Or waxing old. The difference between gone and everlasting. Here in verse 6, he's asking people to look, to lift up their eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath. Now think about that. The heavens, they're talking about the sky, the solar system, the planets, all of those things. He said, I want you to stop. I want you to stop what you're doing. I want you to stop where you're going, and I want you to look up into the sky. Well, whether it's in the daytime or whether it's at night, when you look up to the sky, you see many amazing wonders of God. This says the heavens declare God, that the heavens declare the handiwork of God in Psalms 19. As we look up into the sky, for generations and ages, men have looked up into the sky and wondered and amazed and tried to chart the planets and the stars. And they've been amazed and they've made clocks that are accurate even unto today as they look up into the skies and they see the wonders and they see the amazement of what God has done in the skies. They've always fascinated people, especially at night. But even in the daytime, you look up and you see the sun. It takes a little over 8 minutes for that light to get here. It's so far away. Think of the wonders that God has done. That sun that comes up every morning over the Sandias right here. Right now, it's coming over where we're at, right over about the crest of the Sandias. In the summertime, it comes up over a little more to the north. It comes up more of a direct. But it comes up every morning now. And the moon, I got up last night and was looking outside and I thought it snowed. The moon was so bright and white and things, you know. I said, man, it's going to be cold in the morning. I'm going to have to sweep sidewalks and all this stuff and everything. Got up, there wasn't nothing there. And I said, well, that's good. But you see, the wonders of God, we look out there and we see those things. Here lately, we've had some clear nights. And in the winter is a good time to see the stars because unless there's a lot of fireplaces, it's easier to see the stars in the winter than it is in the summer because of the heat differentiations. And you look out across the road, and you know, we used to do that in West Texas, look out down the highway, and you look like waves down there on the highway because that was the sun coming up. And the heat waves was reflecting the light. Well, that's what happens when you look at the planets. You actually see the sun and the moon. You actually are able to see them before they actually physically crest the earth because of the curvature of the atmosphere and things. You're actually able to see it. That's how Columbus knew that the earth was round. He looked out there and he would watch those ships as they disappeared off into the horizon. If it was flat, they would always be able to see them. But as he watched them go out, he kept seeing less and less of the ship until the last he saw was the flag at the top of the mast. So he knew that that ship was disappearing off of a curve out there somewhere. So these are wonders that people look at that are proclaimed in the Bible. How do they know where how do they know to hit the moon with a spaceship? How do they know where to fly the spaceships about Venus and Mars and Jupiter? Because they know where they're going to be every time. That's how they can do that. There are great wonders as we look up into heaven. You look at the earth. Beneath you, it says, there's more there than just dirt. You ever seen those documentaries about the desert? All the life that's in the desert? You don't think there's anything alive out there. There's so many, whether you're down to the depths of the ocean or the depths of the sky, the heights of the sky, there are many, many, many amazing wonders. And as we look at that, we know that God created all of this. That God did all of this. But this verse also tells us that someday it will all be gone. All be gone. I was thinking, you know, we talk about in Revelation where the islands are moved out of the places, all the mountains are moved. But that's nothing to when it is gone. This is fled away. There's found no more place for it. We've seen earthquakes. We've seen what they've done as we watch the news. We've seen what hurricanes do. We've seen what tornadoes do. We've seen what snow does and lightning and fire. We've seen all those things at what they do. And how they people rebuild and come back again and all those things. But just think. What you see here today, someday will be gone. Those huge mountains will be gone. This body will be gone. Get a new one. Nothing that you can see, nothing that you can touch, feel with your hands, see with your eyes, nothing, nothing will be here anymore. Not one little bug, not anything. Why? The curse of sin. Isaiah 34 says, all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And Peter, the heavens pass away with a great noise, the elements melt with a fervent heat. The earth and the works thereof shall be burned up. In Corinthians it says, the things which, while we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Our verse here says that the earth shall wax old like a garment. Wax old like a garment. We've got some clothes that maybe not what they used to be, huh? Because you didn't use the right detergent and all that other stuff like they tell you, you know? Seen that commercial, they got these people walking down the road. They both got the same clothes on. One of them is 10 years old or 15 washes later, the one's brand new, and they're all supposed to look the same because you're using the right detergents, you know? What are they trying to do? Make it last. Keep it going. Not wear out. Our grandchildren have got some favorite clothes that they seem to like to wear. Even though they tend to cut off the circulation, they like to wear them because they're their favorite clothes. But you see, this waxing is a slow process. And I was thinking about this. Everybody knows this fact. Everybody knows that the earth is waxing old like a garment. Everybody knows that. Whether they're lost or they're saved, whether they're a Christian or a non-believer, an atheist or a agnostic or whatever you want to say, everybody knows that the earth is waxing old. What is this global warming that they're talking about? We're destroying the earth with all the stuff we put in the air, and it's getting warmer, and the ice caps are going to melt. The polar bears aren't going to have any place to live, and we're all going to get flooded and all those things. Everybody knows that the earth is waxing old. What about green? Green is the subject today. Greenhouse. Built, not, they don't mean painted green, but they mean green for the environment, that it helps the environment. Everybody knows that we're running out of fuel. And we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And there's nothing wrong with conserving energy. There's nothing wrong with being safer. But listen, everybody knows that this earth is wearing out. That it's getting worse and worse and worse. But they're trying to stop it. They're trying to stop it. How many creams and lotions and surgeries and all those things are there out there to make you look like you're not getting older? You know? How many hair colors and dyes and facial treatments and all kinds of things that are trying to make you stay young? Because everything is waxing older and fading like an old garment. But they're trying to stop it. You might as well go out here and try and stop the Roadrunner express train. And what's it going to do? You go, it'll make you flat and everything else, huh? You're not going to do that, are you? You're not going to stop God. You're not going to stop God. Whether people believe in God or not, they see the results of what's happening to this earth. You know what? They've got a section in NASA that charts all the trash in space. So that they won't run into it and knock a hole in their spaceship. I used to bicycle ride up on the mesa. Well, I'd push it up there and then ride it down. But you could always tell where there's been people. Because there's trash. Why do we have a dump? Why are they always expanding the dump and making it bigger? Why do we have a sewer treatment plant? Trash. And those are things that are needed. But the rest of the verse tells us why. And they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. That is why people are trying to stop everything waxing old. If we can save the planet, Mother Earth. Some people worship Mother Earth. If we can save the planet, if we can stop the greenhouse effect for what it's worth, if we can go to an alternate fuel, wind or battery or solar or whatever, and get away from fossil fuel, if we can do all of those things, then we can stop this waxing old process and we won't wax old. But God says, this is going to happen. And not just here. Many places in the Bible it says this is going to take place. We just read a few of them. Even Jesus says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. My words shall not pass away because of sin. Nothing, no one is going to live forever. Saved person, their soul, but not this body. As a Christian, when you got saved, did your body get new? No. But your soul did. Nothing can stop this. I was going to look it up and I forgot to. There's a law in science that says everything deteriorates. Nothing stays the same. All of creation is under a curse from God. From Genesis chapter 3. And the curse is not removed till, you can look it up later, Revelation 22:3. You can remember Genesis chapter 3 is for the curse. Verse 3 of the last chapter of the Bible is where the curse is taken out. Because you are an earthling, you are under the curse. And flying to another planet and starting another colony is not going to change that fact. Because all of creation, it says the heavens, there is no way to change the deterioration. Don't matter how many herbs you take, how many exercises you do, you can make yourself healthier, I'm not denying that. But you're not going to stop death. You're not going to stop deterioration. You're not going to stop things wearing out. You're not going to stop things getting old. You're not going to stop death. It cannot be done. Remember back when you studied Ponce de Leon? Where did he go? I think it was Florida he went to, looking for the fountain of youth. Never did find it, did he? Now here in Isaiah, right after 51:6, they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. See the colon there, the two dots. But my salvation shall be forever. And my righteousness shall not be abolished. Righteousness. My salvation. Notice who it is here. It's God's salvation. It is His righteousness. It says in Hebrews, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Many references to the immutability or the unchangingness that God is consistent through the Bible. Your salvation is just as long-lasting as God is. He says, my word. It says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word, what? Abideth. Forever. Lives forever. His word is alive because it gives life. That's who's keeping your salvation. It's God. His word. We often talk about the written word, which, yes, it's going to be preserved forever. His Bible, His word. But also the incarnate word, Jesus Christ, that came and dwelt among us. And when He gave you His word, He gave you His vow. He said this, and God's word is sure. God's word is positive. God's word is definite. You can take it to the bank. You can count on it. You can put your eternal soul in the hands of God's word. Because His word is true. I am the truth. Pilate says, what is truth? As he talked with Jesus right there. You can trust what God says. And what's it say? My salvation shall be forever. It's not like everything else is destroyed. It's not like everything else is disappearing. It's not like everything else that's waxing old. God's salvation will never wax old. Some of you have been saved for a few years. But your salvation isn't old. Some of you have been, listen, some of you have been saved for a few years. But that doesn't make your salvation old. People are still getting saved by the same salvation that saved you. It goes on forever. 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 My righteousness shall not be abolished. God is right. God will always be right. God has never been wrong. God will never be wrong. God has never made a mistake. God has never been taken by surprise. He is right. As I said before, your salvation is just as sure and long-lasting as God Himself. What does Jehovah mean? What did He tell Moses in Exodus? I am that I am. Because I am, I am. Because of who I am, I am. Because He is God, He will always be. Self-existing. Self-sustaining, everlasting, unchanging, immutable. That's God. You see, God doesn't need us to exist. God doesn't need creation to exist. God doesn't need anything outside of Himself to exist. I am that I am. He doesn't need anything to make Him exist or have Him go. He doesn't have to have air, water, warmth, heat, cold. He doesn't have to have energy or anything. He is everything. He is self-sustaining, perpetual energy. Therefore, there is no way for God to stop. There is nothing that can be taken away from God to stop there being a God. There's nothing that can be added to God to make Him stop being God. There's nothing that can be taken away from Him of having to be God. There's nothing anybody can do to stop God. Because I am that I am. Jehovah. Therefore, His salvation is forever and His righteousness is forever. Because He's God. And all of this is going to pass away. All of this is going to be gone. All of this is going to be no more. It's fled away. There's no place found for it. A new heaven and a new earth come down out of God's heaven, adorned as a bride. And that's where we'll dwell. None of this earth that you know right now, this globe, this planet that we named Earth, is going to be gone. It says there's no more sea. It's going to be gone. But God will be here. And those that are trusting in His salvation will be here. But those that are not will be cast in the lake of fire with death and hell. If your salvation is forever, the end of verse 8 says, "But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation." It keeps being passed on. Keeps being passed on to the next generation. That's how it spreads. But there's going to come a time when generations stop. There's going to come a time when the passing on stops. Because there's not going to be any more generations. And at that point, those that are saved will be saved. Those that are lost will be lost. That which is lost is lost, and that which is saved is saved. It talks about it in Revelation 22. If this isn't part of your life, then you have no hope. Some people are having their bodies frozen. So once they find the cure for whatever killed them, they can be thawed out, defrosted, whatever, and be cured. Some of them are having their heads chopped off and froze. What are they trying to do? Live forever. Another way. Chirogenic, something like how they call it. They're trying to live forever. Well, when the fire and judgment starts coming, everybody's going to start melting. There is no way to escape God's judgment. Except through the everlasting Son, Jesus Christ. You need to rejoice in the fact that you know you're saved. You need to be happy about the fact that you know you're saved. But you need to proclaim it and share the news. Because you know somebody out there that's not. Their destiny is to wax old like a garment, wither and fade and dry up and go away. The only way that can be changed is by the Creator to have their soul. Let's stand at our feet while we have a time of invitation. They were having a discussion about the apostles in Acts chapter 5 one time. And they said, "But if it be a God, you cannot overthrow it. Lest you happily be found even to fight against God." You cannot defeat God. Dear Jesus, we ask that you'll take this time, that you'll take these words, that you'll take this message, and you'll convict people's hearts. God, if there's one that's here that's not saved, that they'll get that squared away today. And those that are not certain about their salvation will have it nailed down. That they'll have it assured in their hearts. We ask this in the name of Jesus.